أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله وهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness. And save not and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yu'ti Allaha wa rasula faqad faza fawzan 'azima. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you. Show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, at this very moment, millions of pilgrims are preparing for the Hajj, the most important journey in a Muslim's life. In this short khutbah, I want to sum up a few key points for us to remember about this momentous event. Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca, is an epic journey by any standards. It's the fifth pillar of Islam, and it also summarizes the dramatic story of our deen. First of all, Hajj reminds us about our primordial human nature, our fitrah. Fitrah is our natural state, the way Allah made us. We were born innocent and pure, without any sin. Remember, there's no doctrine of original sin in Islam. We are born pure and innocent. We do not carry the sins of Adam with us. And Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, did not have to die for our sins. Every Muslim, every human being is born pure and innocent, and that is the state of fitrah. That is the meaning of fitrah. But also, part of our human nature is that Allah has made us to be forgetful. We are easily distractible. I don't have to prove that to you. I'm sure every one of us know that. We are all very easily distractible. It's our tendency to lose focus and to forget that leads us to commit and to slide into shameful and sinful behavior. But you know, Hajj also offers us redemption. It offers us divine mercy and forgiveness. And Allah reminds us many times in the Holy Quran never to despair of His mercy. And He is always ready to forgive those who return to Him. If we sincerely stop our bad behavior and turn towards Allah's obedience, His forgiveness is complete. And in fact, Allah's forgiveness is such that Allah will even erase the sin, so there's no record of it. If we are completely sincere in our repentance and we stop committing those sinful acts. Hajj is also a journey that takes us back through time, retelling the moral and spiritual history of humankind. We visit the Kaaba, which is the first place of worship, the very first place of worship, built before the first church, before the first synagogue, before the first temple. Here we find ourselves at the Baytullah, the house of Allah. It is the home of monotheism, the home of Tawheed, the cradle of Tawheed, of divine unity. Here we walk around the geographical center of Islam, the Kaaba. And this Kaaba, this empty bricks and mortar building, is actually the center of our Islamic universe. We do not pray to the Kaaba, as everyone knows. The Kaaba is merely a symbol. It's a symbol of Allah's home, Allah's house. And it is the focus to which we all turn in prayers. The tawaf, the walking around the Kaaba, symbolizes effort and action in a constant circular motion. Doing it the wrong way, sorry, it's an anti-clockwise motion, right? Anti-clockwise motion around the Kaaba, and it symbolizes human effort around a fixed and immovable center. The Kaaba is always standing still, but the people are in motion. And in a way, it symbolizes human effort, human struggle, human activity and the Kaaba represents the rock solid stability, which is our belief, our tawheed. It never changes. And the human soul within us also never changes, but emotions are constantly changing. So there are many things we can read into this. And the Kaaba stands as a rock solid symbol of unity, of divinity, of tawheed, in the swirl of human activity, of individual opinions and different starting points. When we move to the plain of Arafat, Arafat actually on the day of Wukuf becomes a stage for a dramatic role play of the very beginning and the very end. The very beginning is before time and space began. If you go beyond the Big Bang 14 billion years ago, when time and space came into existence, go beyond that point to the very starting point where Allah refers to in the Holy Quran, Allah speaks about this the time when Allah gathered together all the arwah, all the souls of human beings, from the very first soul of Nabi Adam alayhi salam to the very last human being to be born on the Day of Judgment. Allah gathered all the souls together on a huge plain. And this gathering of Arafat is a reenactment of this moment, before time and before space, when Allah addressed this huge gathering and He said, Alasta bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And the entire gathering of human souls, from the first soul to the very last soul to be born on earth, all replied in one voice, Bala shahidna. Yes, indeed, we testify to this, so that we have no excuse on the Day of Judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, to say that we were not aware of this. Now this is a pivotal moment for us to remember, that before time and space began, your soul and my soul and every human soul has taken that covenant, that testimony, that being taken witness that Allah is our Lord. And that is why when people go around soul searching and looking for faith and trying all different kinds of mindfulness and spirituality and so forth, it is only in Islam where they find true salvation and true contentment. Because Islam teaches that every human soul is divine and has already taken witness. The shahada that we take, the shahada that we recite, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, that is the second testament. But the first testament is the testament that the human soul has already made. And this was the time when it was made. And so the day of Wukuf is actually a retelling of that story. So what about the if that's the very beginning, what about the very end? We also know that on Yom Qiyamah, every human soul will come and stand before its Lord and testify to its behavior, be held account for its behavior. No sheikh, no pope, no archbishop or anyone is going to be there to protect us. You and I are going to stand all alone with our deeds facing Allah and waiting our final judgment. And in a way, that day on Arafat is also a reminder of that day. Because when you look around you on Arafat, and while you're on Hajj, you see millions of people in Ihram. You can't tell the difference between a prince and a beggar, a taxi driver, a teacher, or the people who cleaned your hotel room that morning, because everyone's the same. And this is exactly how Allah Ta'ala sees every one of us. Allah's not interested in our designer clothes and our jewelry and all the status and things that we imagine makes us feel important. But what really is important is what's inside our hearts. And Allah looks into inside our hearts. And that is why purification of the heart, tazkiyah, and tarbiyah, and so forth, purification of the soul, is such an important thing in Islam. This is exactly how Allah sees us. Allah looks into our hearts, and Allah wants to see what's inside your heart. Is it full of anger? Is it full of jealousy? Is it full of hate? Is it full of remorse? Is it full of negativity? That is not the way a Muslim's heart should be. A true believer should have cleaned out the heart. And our heart should be filled with those beautiful, reflection of those beautiful 99 names, the Asma al-Husna. It should be filled with justice, beauty, generosity, wisdom, all the good qualities that we strive for that make up the 99 names of Allah. That brings us closer to Allah. And the Quran describes it very beautifully when it says that no one shall enter the garden except those with a qalb salim. Qalb salim. Brother Salim is here. He bears that beautiful name. So qalb salim means a pure heart, a pure sound heart. On Arafat, there is Jabal Rahmah, which is a small hill, the Mount of Mercy. And why is it called the Mount of Mercy? If we go back and we read up the history of Jabal Rahmah, when Nabi Adam and his wife were cast out of heaven because of their forgetfulness and distraction, they listened to Shaitan, they forgot to obey Allah's rule, to stay away from this tree, and they were cast out, and they were left for years searching for one another. Eventually they were reunited and Allah Ta'ala, and they asked for Allah's forgiveness. And it's on Jabal Rahmah that Allah granted them forgiveness. But they made a beautiful prayer which we still recite today. Every pilgrim, every Hajj goes and recites this beautiful prayer. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Beautiful prayer. It's a short prayer and I urge every one of us to memorize it, whether or not you've been on Hajj. O Lord, our Lord, we have truly wronged our own souls, and if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, we will truly be among the losers. So isn't it beautiful? Arafat tells us about the very beginning of humankind and the very end of humankind. And we repeat the prayer of Nabi Adam, because we all follow this Adamic role model. We're all born in a state of innocence and purity. We all make mistakes. We become forgetful. We commit sins. And we recognize, Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to recognize our mistakes and our sins. And Allah gives us the will and the inclination to seek forgiveness and redemption. So that is the beautiful story of the Hajj. One of the stories. Brothers and sisters, those of us, I'm sure some of us have already done the Hajj, and some of us would not have done it. And if you have not yet completed your Hajj, may I ask you please to make this a priority. Pay off your debts, not just your financial debts, but also your debts to your fellow brothers and sisters, anyone you've harmed, anyone you've offended, ask them for forgiveness and make your journey to complete your fifth pillar as soon as possible, inshallah. On Hajj, you are Allah's guest. Allah has invited you to His Baytullah, His house. As His honored guest, you have to observe certain good manners and courtesies that are expected of you. During Hajj, we have to be on best behavior at all times. We are not allowed to become angry or to lose our temper. And there are certain rules we have to observe. As soon as we don our ihram, we repeat those evocative words, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, here I am, O Allah, here I am. Remember, you made that testimony, your ruh, your soul has made that testimony to witness Allah as our Lord. And Allah has invited you to His home and you've accepted that invitation. By coming on Hajj, you've accepted that invitation. And as soon as you arrive, you take off your outward identity and you put on your ihram and you say, here I am, Ya Allah, I'm at your service, here I am. So push aside all your fancy little notions, all your hang-ups, all your attitude that you might have, because humility is what the message of Hajj is all about. You are Allah's servant. The opposite of that is being the egotistical, the braggart, the one who thinks he knows everything, and that is a form of minor shirk as well. So that is what we do. We come there with humility. As I said earlier, Hajj is an outward journey tracing the spiritual history of Islam, but it is also an inward journey towards our own center, towards the Kaaba of our heart. You know, every one of us has a heart, the qalb, and inside the qalb, the heart is the seat of the ruh, the soul is there. And the ruh never changes. The ruh never changes, but emotions change, the heart changes, the heart flip-flops from one thing to the other. So we always have to be referring to the higher inclinations within ourselves, not the lower inclinations. This is what we talk about, the nafs al-amara bisu, the lower self is always inclined towards anger and jealousy and hatred and greed and all the other negative qualities. But the higher qualities are also there. The ruh is there, and we always have to refer to the ruh. So Allah is concerned about what's inside our hearts. And the Hajj is an outward journey, but also an inward journey. And inshallah, everyone who goes on Hajj will be undertaking both an inward and an outward journey to purify the self inwardly, as well as to go and see all the historical places outwardly. And purification of the heart is not just about an attitude, my dear brothers and sisters. It's about actions as well. You know, to say that you love Allah is one thing, but you have to make sure that you can make it visible, inshallah. And final point, remembering Allah, dhikr, is not only a matter of saying, reciting and chanting beautiful words in a harmonious voice. As I said, dhikr is about doing things that please Allah. And that is what brings true contentment. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Ra'd, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهِمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Allah bi dhikri lahi tatma'innu qulub. Those who believe and whose hearts find contentment in the remembrance of Allah, for truly in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find contentment. O Allah, let our hearts find lasting contentment, deep and never-ending joy in remembering You and taking good care of all Your creation. Say Ameen. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah ya rabbi al-azim. My dear sisters and brothers, we often say that we love Allah more than we love anyone or anything else. Do we really mean that? Do we really love Allah more than we love our families, more than we love our parents or our children, more than we love our selfish egos? Really? Where's the evidence? If you really love someone, there's evidence. There's phone calls, there's love poems, there's text messages and emails and so forth. Where's the evidence of our love for Allah? Where's the evidence that we're constantly seeking His smiling face in our prayers, in our dhikr, and in our lifelong good works? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had a dream in which he offered his son Ismail as a sacrifice. And we all know the story. He went to his son and he told his son about the story. And what was the son's reply? He said, "O father, if this is what Allah's will is, you'll find me ready to comply." And both father and son knew what this meant. The father put his son, laid his son out, took a very sharp knife, and he was about to make the sacrifice to Allah, to prove his love for Allah. And Allah converted the son, changed the son instantly into a sheep. Allah is capable of doing anything. He can create the heavens and the earth by saying kun fayakun. He can change a human being into a sheep within a split second. That's easy for him. He writes the spreadsheet of the whole universe, so he can change the formula of any little cell in that spreadsheet he wants to. We Muslims believe it, we don't even doubt it. And there's a beautiful message here, and because Allah Ta'ala said to Nabi Ibrahim, "You have already completed your test, you have passed your test. I only wanted to see whether you were willing to do it." Now, where is our willingness to sacrifice all those pet things, all those little things that we worship so much in our hearts for Allah's sake? And it's not just money, it's time, it's attention, it's effort. Very important that we, Muslims, are seen to be actively working to better our communities, our families, our communities, and the world at large. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came at the end of his hijrah, when he came into Medina, the very first khutbah he delivered, in his very first khutbah, he said a very short sentence. He summed up the whole message of Islam in one sentence. He said, "Spread peace, feed the poor, pray for a small part of the night, and you will enter paradise." Very simple. Spread peace, spread salam. Feed the poor, pray for a small part of the night, and you'll enter paradise. Let us pray, inshallah, that all our hujjaj, Allah Ta'ala will accept the hajj of all our hujjaj. Let us pray that all those who have not yet done their hajj, that Allah should make it easy for them to complete this fifth pillar, this very important fifth pillar, to complete their Islam very soon, inshallah. Say Ameen. In 2 weeks' time, inshallah, my youngest daughter, Amina, and I will be going on Hajj. And I must ask you all, each and every one of you, to forgive me for anything that I might have said or done that might have hurt you or that might have caused you offense. Personally, I have no bad feelings towards anybody. So there's no need for anyone to ask forgiveness from me. But I owe you that courtesy of asking forgiveness, whether I did or said anything deliberately or accidentally. I ask your forgiveness. Inshallah, I would like to go on Hajj without any emotional burdens. Allah is my witness. Wa kafa billahi shahida. Finally, let us plead with Allah to please shower His peace and blessings and mercy and dignity upon the followers of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, please forgive us all. Have mercy on us and remove the pain and distress that so many of our fellow Muslims are suffering, having to endure in so many parts of the world today. Say Ameen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, surely Allah commands justice, good deeds and generosity to others and to relatives. And He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. And He instructs you so that you may be reminded. Allah says, and remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. Remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and without doubt, Allah knows the deeds that you do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ آمين. أقيم الصلاة.